today on A Word to Live By.
It's not in the sinful nature of man. It is not natural in his flesh to forgive. It's not natural. Doesn't make sense. Why do we forgive when we're sinned against? Listen, if we're believers in Christ, it's because we have been forgiven much.
Forgiveness. It doesn't come naturally, yet it's essential to how we must live. Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher shares the importance of practicing forgiveness in part 11 of Teach Us to Pray.
Jesus, the hope for the hopeless, repairing hearts of the broken, proclaiming God's truth in real life. It's time for our word to live by.
We're in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. A really important section of this message. We've been talking about the Lord's Prayer. Teach us to pray, O Lord. And the Lord's saying, when you pray, say. We've been looking at just the nuances or the skeletal look of this prayer. The elements of our prayer life. When I come to the Lord in the morning or in the evening, in the afternoon, and to pray and to stay an extended time with Him. He says, hey, say these things. Let these things come off of your lips. And it's not just a prayer to be repeated, but it's a prayer guide, so to speak, that just shows us how to pray. But you know, I've been looking at this whole passage, and I look at this, and as he says, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, because we ourselves also forgive everyone who's indebted to us. And lead us not in temptation. And then in the Matthew passage, that says, and deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen. And I think what could be really interesting about this prayer is that it's a living prayer. It's a living prayer. They could have said, hey, Lord, teach us not only to pray, but teach us to live. Show us how to live. And when you think about the first few verses of this passage, and when you look at the first few places of prayer that we go to, what is it? We want to exalt you. You're our Father. May your name be holy, right? Your kingdom, may it come, not my kingdom. May your will be done. You are Lord. You are King. You are God. You are Father. We want to live like this. We want to live like we pray. I think the reason why prayer lives can be so dull, so boring, so powerless is because we don't get up and go live. We don't get up and go live. This is a living prayer. It is a model prayer, but it's Jesus. It's Jesus all over it. And when we talked about, just in brief last week, just a phrase, when we talked about faith, hope, and love, remember that? We're going to believe Jesus, we're going to anticipate Jesus, and we're going to live Jesus. This is living Jesus. This is Jesus living in our hearts, coming out of our mouths, and as it comes out of our mouths, we're going to live it. We're going to get up from our prayer time, and we're going to live like a child of God, a child of the King, a child of the Lord, and we're going to trust Him for all that He's going to do in our lives this week, or this day. Give us this day our daily bread. We're going to trust Him. We're going to ask Him for things. We're going to intercede. We're going to give petition, and we're going to ask Him to forgive us. We're going to ask Him to forgive us. We want to be in a right relationship, in right fellowship with our great God and Savior on a daily basis. And that's what we've been talking about. We've been talking about, Father, forgive us. And as we are forgiving those who trespass against us. Have you ever been trespassed against? Think about it. What happened? Have you ever trespassed against someone else? We have. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 8, chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. A couple of things I want to say just right off is, number one, it's not in the sinful nature of man. It is not natural in his flesh to forgive. It's not natural. Doesn't make sense.
Everything about the flesh is, I don't want to forgive. I want to walk in revenge. I want to hold on to it. I want to hold on to it because just in case you might want to hurt me again, so I'm just going to hold on to it. Everything in the old nature, the nature without Christ, okay, wants to seek revenge. It's not easy. It's not natural to forgive. The second thing is the greatest virtue in the kingdom of God is unconditional love and forgiveness. You know, I know people who have been hurt badly, and they chose to forgive even when that person didn't come and say, please forgive me. They chose to go beyond it. They chose to go beyond this whole thought, because when you think about this whole thought, the greatest virtue in the kingdom is unconditional love and forgiveness. It's why we're here. It's why we're in the kingdom. It's why we've been forgiven. We speak about this in Romans chapter 5. When did God die for us? When we were sinners, when we were enemies. Right? Ungodly. That's what he chose on a cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Was the world clamoring? Were they clamoring to ask for forgiveness from God when Jesus said that? No. No. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. The Jesus who goes to heaven and intercedes at the right hand of God, who's interceding for us. Yeah, it's not natural to forgive. It's the greatest, to forgive is the greatest virtue in the kingdom, unconditional love. And I'm going to say a third thing. Unforgiveness never has, and it never will work. Unforgiveness never has and never will work in your life. And we see this in this passage of Scripture. When Peter comes to Christ, and the context is church discipline, and in verse 21 it says, and Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Well, now to get you a little context in this, because of some passages in Amos, where God says, for three sins I'll forgive Syria, and then for the fourth I'm going to just cut it off. Okay? There's some passages like that. And so you had some Pharisees and scribes look at that and say, okay, listen, this is how it's going to work. You can forgive somebody up to three times, and on the fourth, you can let the hammer go down. Fourth time, you're done. And so Peter has heard that teaching. And so he's being really, really generous here. How many times shall my brother, so that's someone in a close relationship, how many times shall I, he sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times? What does Jesus say? No, I don't say up to seven times, but seven times 70. Seven times 70. Does that mean that on the 491 time, we can let the hammer go, right? No. This is a metaphor. This is, hey, you've been forgiven. You have been forgiven. And so what he's saying is, as a forgiven child, you're to forgive 70 times 7. And so he goes on and he says this, for this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Now, a talent was equal to 15 years' wages. Okay? 15 years. So he owed this Lord 10,000. And really, when you look at the Greek language, when you see the word, look up the word 10,000, the word is murion. We get our word from myriad. It means countless. There's not a numerical value there in the Greek. It's murion. It's countless. It's a ton. He owed a ton, right? He owed 15 years of salary. That's what he owed him. And since he didn't have the means to repay, I don't know what he did with all that money, okay? But he comes up and he owes, okay? Maybe he's a satrap, and a satrap was one who went for the king and collected taxes. Maybe he was a tax collector and he just pocketed it all. I don't know. It's a parable. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. He can, you know, the Lord said, you can't repay me. There's no way. There's no way. It's an insurmountable debt. It's a Murion debt. 10,000 talents. On and on and on do we owe, he says. Do you owe? But look what the Lord did. The Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. Now, do you remember what the word forgive is? To forgive means to release or to what? To send away. Got a new word for you. Hurl. To hurl. He takes the sin in your life, in my life, and he throws it. He doesn't just say, he hurls it. And we see in Scripture, from as far as the east is from the west, we see that in Psalm 103. He hurls it. Boom. And the Bible goes on, he says, and he remembers it no more. So what he does is he opens the ledger and he erases it. And you know what that means? It means that he's not going to bring it to mind. Forgive. He forgave him. But the Bible says, but the slave, verse 28, went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And that's about almost a year's wage, okay, 300 days wages. And seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, have patience with me and I will repay you. But he was unwilling and he went and he threw him into prison until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to the Lord all that had happened. And summoning him, his Lord said to him, you wicked slave, listen, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Why do we forgive? Why do we forgive when folks hurt us, speak evil of us, hurt our children, our grandchildren? Why do we forgive when we're sinned against? Listen, if we're believers in Christ, it's because we have been forgiven much. Murion! Countless. When you gave your heart to Christ and you became a child of God, he took your sin, he hurled it as far as the east is from the west. He remembered it no more. And everything, past, present, future, dealt with, as we spoke of a couple weeks ago, last week. Dealt with. We had this immeasurable debt of 10,000 talents forgiven, taken off the rap sheet, as if we never ever committed these sins. With no way to ever repay. And God forgave. Psalm 103, I just mentioned it ago, says that, I'm going to go and turn there. Go on. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Verse 3, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed with like an eagle. Verse 6, the Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord's compassionate. He's gracious. He's slow to anger. He abounds in loving kindness. He'll not always strive with us, nor keep his anger forever. He's not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame, and he's mindful that we are dust. We forgive because we have the forgiven. Not only have we been forgiven, but that's what we're defined as now. We are the forgiven. The forgiven. The released. That's who we are. What if they wound me again? The Bible says 70 times 7. It's going to happen again. It may not happen from the same person. What does that mean? It means that you and I are filled with the Spirit of God, and we get to rise up. We get to rise up above it. Do you believe that you can rise up above it? Amen? Do you believe you can rise up above any trial, any way that you've been persecuted, any way that you've been sinned against? You murdered my daughter.
You murdered my daughter. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You abused me. You took my life from me. You took it all away from me. You did this. You did that. I forgive you. I release you. We forgive because we're the forgiven. We forgive because we forgive. The second thing, why we want to forgive, and why we do, because we reflect the Father. That's what we're called to do. We're to imitate His character and His nature. Look on the screen, Exodus 34, 6 and 7. This is who God is. The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. That's who He is, by His compassion and by His nature, His character. Now, it's really, what I love about this verse of Scripture is that you'll see it in the Psalm. Matter of fact, we just saw it quoted by David in Psalm 103. But you'll also see it in John. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we behold His glory. Glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. That's who this God is. And we are to reflect that in all that we are and all that we do. So we reflect the Father. We reflect His character. We reflect His nature. But here's the thought. Here's the thought. When I open my prayer up with "Our Father," when I open that prayer up, "You are my Father. I am your child. I share the nature of my Father." It's my nature to forgive. It's my nature to be compassionate and mercy. It's in my nature. You see, in my flesh, it's natural not to. But in my spirit, oh, it's supernatural too. Amen? Yeah, it's more than natural. It's supernatural. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't struggle with it. It doesn't mean that we don't hurt with it. But I want to tell you this. You can get over whatever you're not over with yet. And you can get over it today simply because you're the forgiven and you've got this nature in you. You've got the nature of God. This Jesus who became God, who became flesh, we know Him. Jesus came into our lives. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 27. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. Watch verse 27. Words of Jesus. "I say to you here, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." Is that natural? Not in the flesh. But let me ask you a question. Why would the words of Jesus, why would He ask you to do something that He would not turn around and then offer you the power and the grace to do exactly what He's saying? Give you the new nature? And He goes on, He says, "And I say to you also, whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who's asking of him. Whoever takes away what's yours, don't demand it back. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount and more." That's my words. "But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you'll be the sons of the Most High. You have the same nature, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, you'll not be judged. Do not condemn, you'll not be condemned. Pardon, you'll be pardoned. Give, it'll be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For by your same standard of measure, it will also be measured out to you." Which is really another reason why I want to forgive. Because I'm setting a standard. I'm setting a standard. We are the forgiven. We reflect the Father. We have His nature. We also forgive because in forgiving, we actually, along with God, are releasing the offender in a supernatural sort of way. What do I mean by that? Well, when you go back to the story in Matthew chapter 18,
what you find is that this guy who's been forgiven decides to go settle up an account himself and doesn't get what he got, which was forgiven. And what does he do? He throws the guy into prison. Throws him into prison. Now, I want to say this, and I've seen this. It's amazing to me the power of forgiveness. The power of forgiveness to forgive those, especially those who are close to you and have kind of a bond to you. When I forgive, supernaturally, I've seen this, not all the time, I've seen the behavior begin to change. I have a friend, he was in this church for a while. We've seen his clip, the clip that we did, the interview, talked about how he hated his dad. Hated his dad. Didn't walk in forgiveness toward his dad. And held animosity. And his dad, he was treated very badly as a boy. Dad was an alcoholic, kept a loaded gun on the table, beat his mom, beat them. He was always in his dad's target. He hated him. And one day, he decided to forgive his dad. And right after the forgiveness, right after he forgave, and I mean really released him, God began to do something in Mike's heart, began to pray for his dad, began to love his dad, began to look past it and see what Jesus sees. And within 3 weeks, 4 weeks, maybe a month, you know what his dad does? His dad starts showing up at the shop, working and sweeping his floors. He owned a tile place. You know, what is happening? His dad would just show up, start sweeping short, didn't even ask him, just started sweeping, started serving his son. Wow. Started saying, hey, son, I want to change all the oil. I want to get all the oil changes out. So all the trucks, you just let me take care of that. And what is going on with my dad? All of a sudden, he's starting to talk to his dad, share with his dad. And several months later, leads his dad to Christ. And they have a wonderful, wonderful relationship today. I remember sitting in Grumps in Granbury. And my dad and Mike and I were sitting with him. We were sitting together. And we were talking about this. And he said, you know what I realized? He said, we were talking about it. He said, I realized that I realized that I was the key. That when I began as a son to forgive my dad, he began to get released. The condemnation I heaped on him, in some kind of odd way, strange way, maybe spiritual way, I'm thinking kept him in bondage. And so sometimes, not all the time, please don't see that, sometimes, maybe not all the time, I can't just guarantee it, but somehow when I forgive and I release that person, I think they have a huge, huge possibility of being forgiven because there's one less person in his life condemning him and walking in unforgiveness. This man in this parable had no business throwing him into bondage, into sin over it. Matter of fact, he was supposed to be merciful as the Lord was. He was supposed to do the very same thing, but he did not do it. So the third reason is we release the offender from, because we condemn no more, and he doesn't feel condemned by you. Fourth, unforgiveness moves to bitterness, and bitterness defiles many. Defiles many. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Go on and turn there real quickly. And we'll begin in 14. Pursue peace with all men. Pursue the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. That no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, whenever he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. He found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears. Notice something about this whole thought of bitterness. You know, when I think about it, when he says this, he says, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. What grace is, grace does. What grace is, grace does. Yeah, you remember Forrest Gump, stupid is what stupid does, right? Listen, yeah, You remember that, don't you? Grace is what grace does. And he says, see to it that you don't come short of the grace of God, that you don't measure up to the grace of God. Now, grace, not in the sense of what saves you and gave you eternal life, but the grace that God keeps giving you to be empowered to deny ungodliness and worldly desire and to live righteously, godly, and sensibly in this present age. So see to it that you don't come short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, by which many defile. Now listen, bitterness is a bad thing. It is a bad thing. The first thing is, when you're bitter, you're coming short of the grace of God. You're not measuring up to the grace that God has given to you. The second thing is, it causes trouble. It causes trouble. Third, it defiles you. The word defile means to pollute, to contaminate, and it spreads. In our parable, in Matthew 18, what happens is that person gets handed over to the torturers. And I got to say this, I can't expect to be right in fellowship with God if I'm unforgiving. And it's not so much if I'm a believer walking that I lose salvation. I lose the joy of salvation. I lose the peace. I lose the assurance. I'm the one locked up in prison. And what happens is I'm tortured with anger and wrath. And it tears up families, and it brings disunity to marriages and churches and friendship. It brings fear and worry and stress and depression and adultery. You know, as a pastor and a man who's been in the ministry since he was 17 years old, most always, not always, but almost always, adultery comes not because of lust, it comes because of bitterness. Bitterness toward the wife, bitterness toward the husband. You are the forgiven. You and I are the forgiven. We reflect the nature of God. When we stop walking on forgiveness, we stop condemnation and give that person the freedom in some ways. Unforgiveness brings bitterness. Bitterness causes trouble and defiles many. Get thrown to the torturers. And I don't know about you, but I've been there. I've been tortured. Matter of fact, many of you have heard my story about becoming free from the fear of death or dying young. You know when fear of dying young left me? When I forgave the man that I had animosity toward. The guy that I couldn't please in ministry. The guy that didn't like me. The guy that wanted his own youth guy. It's only a couple of years later that I don't know. When I forgave him, I'm telling you, freedom came, chains dropped. The freedom from fear was easy. Once you forgive. Once you forgive. There's a little verse of scripture. It's a past scripture. It's found in Genesis chapter 4. Don't turn there, but I want you to read it tonight. When I look at that, I look at and I call it the way of Cain. Matter of fact, Jude calls it the way of Cain. Cain becomes offended. Remember, he got offended. He became angry. God said, why are you angry? Listen, if you do well, your countenance will be lifted up. In other words, when your countenance lifted up, that means that something happened in your heart. And this is what he says. He says, hey, sin is crouching at the door. And its desire is for you, and you must master it. If you don't master it, listen, you know what's going to happen? You get the spirit of murder in you. What he does is he goes full blown, kills his brother, and then you know what? God sends him away from the presence of the Lord, from the face of God, and you know what he does? He becomes a vagrant and a wanderer. I've seen vagrant and wanderers spiritually because they've gone the way of Cain. I love what the Holy Spirit says, or God says to him. He says, you must master it. And guess what? I'm going to give the master to you to master it. Jesus. Seed of the woman. There's nothing that you want in another day of walking in unforgiveness. It doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. To find out more, call us at 254-445-2929. If you're a Facebook user, you can find us at Cottonwood Life or visit us online at cottonwoodlife.org. Proclaiming God's truth and realize.
It's time for a word to live by.